And I've titled my message this evening, A Father's Cry. A Father's Cry. It says there in verse 38, Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. Father crying out for his child, his only child. Now our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, He had two ways of preaching. Two ways of teaching and preaching. First, preaching was in His Word. His Word. He taught. His Word. He used His Word. He taught people. Instructed them. Preached lots and lots of sermons while He was on this earth. The second way, method of His teaching and preaching was by His works. His works that He did were messages for our eyes. Messages for our understanding. His whole life, our Lord's whole life, was a message from heaven. Everything He did, all that He said, and all the miracles He performed were messages. Messages. His works of mercy and miracles, they set forth the gospel. Set for us the gospel and truth before our eyes. That what He did for the body of men in His miracles, they're just pictures of what He does for the souls of men. Everything that you find that He done for a person's body illustrates in pictures what He spiritually does for our soul. Dead, He speaks and you get alive. You're unclean, He cleanses you if you're a leper. So all of those things speak to us. He preached to us in so many ways. When our Lord had come down, back down from the mountain, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and as He came back down, a great multitude met Him. It says there in verse 37, it came to pass on the next day. They were up there, went up that day, had that transfiguration, spent the night. His glory was changed. They all saw the glory. God spoke to them out of the cloud. And they came down off the mountain and didn't tell anybody about it. And a multitude, in another place it says a great multitude met Him. Here many people met Him. And what He has here is a child, our Lord dealing with a child, an epileptic child. Everybody I've read about it says that He has had epilepsy. By the way, you know, there's an account of it in Matthew chapter 17. There's an account of it in Mark chapter 9. And they all say just a little, as some as say some more about it than others say about it. But they say he is epileptic by being falling into fire and falling into water, completely out of control. In one place, he called him a lunatic, and here it talks about a spirit that took him, that he was demon-possessed. Now, it would have been awful, awful if just one of these things was wrong with you. If you're just epileptic, that'd be bad enough. And then if you're deaf, this boy was deaf also. Not only was he deaf, but he was also dumb. He couldn't speak. He was a deaf mute. Either one of those things, in and by himself, if he could have spoke and not heard, or if he could have heard and not spoke, or just had epilepsy. But here's a boy, a child. He's an epileptic. He's deaf. He's dumb. He's not able to speak. And not only that, but a spirit comes and takes him at his will. Takes him at his will. Now our Lord Jesus' time with Moses and Elijah, and as they spake of the Exodus out of Jerusalem and out of His glory, that time was short. He comes down to do what He does. Do works of mercy. Perform miracles. Preach the gospel. And four went up that mountain, our Lord Jesus, James, John, and Peter, and four of them came back down off the mountain. And as they came down, they were met by a lot of people, a lot of people. But there's first thing I want us to see is this, what a parent should do when he's burdened or troubled for a child. If you're a parent or a grandparent, here's what a parent should do. A mother or daddy should do when he has trouble or trouble over a child, or burden for a child. It says there in verse 38, and out of all this multitude of people, this great crowd of people, behold, a man of the company, he made himself stand out. He pressed through the crowd and got up to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he cried out. Come out of this great crowd. And he cried out. This word cried out is the same thing as the same word where it says when our Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice from the cross. So it's the same word. It's a loud crying, a loud voice, a great crying out. And then he says, and he shows respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Master, Rabbi, teacher. Matthew says he calls him Lord. And he says, Master, you're the master. You're the one with the power. You're the one with the teaching. You're the one with the rights. And he said, I beseech thee, I beg you, I ask you. Now watch this. Look upon my son. Now when he says, look upon my son, he don't mean just, boy, look what a pretty baby I got. Look what a nice, handsome young man I've got here. That's not what he's saying. He said, I want you to look what a fine young man I've got, what a fine son I've got here. When he says, look on him, it's the same thing as David said, oh Lord, look upon me in my affliction. It's the same thing as saying, oh God, look down on me and have mercy on me. And he said, look upon my son. Look upon my son with favor. Look upon my son with compassion. Look upon my son with grace. Look upon my son with power. And when he says, look upon my son, he said, do something for me. Do something for him. That's what he's saying. By look upon him, do something for him. And what he says now? For he is my only child. My only child. Now, if he had had several children, may not even have been there. But this is his only child. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He was the only begotten of the Father. He knew what it was to have a relationship with the Father. To have a Father to love His Son. That's what how many times did God say, this is my beloved Son. He just got through telling the other disciples, this is my Son, my beloved Son, hear Him. And He knew what it is to have a Father to love Him. And care for Him and watch out for Him and strengthen Him and meet all of His needs. And he knew what it was to be in the bosom of the Father. Now, here comes a man with his only child. And you know there are so many times in the Scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ did for people who were the only child. You know the widow's son and name. That was, he says, my only son. My only one. Only child of God. And Jairus's. When the Lord Jesus came, when he came to the Lord Jesus, he said, my only daughter lies sick. Only child. My only child. But you know it don't make no difference whether you got one or half a dozen. The one that's in trouble. The one that's in need. The one you have a problem with. That's the one you're burdened about. The one that's sick. That's the one you set up with. The one that's in trouble, that's the one you pray over. Those of you that's got children, not like this child, you got children that are believing children. Children that's well-behaved, well-mannered, and disciplined, and responsible. You bless God for that. You bless God for that. Everybody, every parent don't have that. And this boy, his only child, was an epileptic. And it says there, in verse 39, a spirit takes him. Oh, whenever a spirit would, he'd just come and take him. Just get a hold of him. Take him captive. And that ain't that pretty much the way the human race is? Ain't that pretty much the way we were before Christ came to us? You know, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. This is where we were. And this is where our children are. This is why we're burdened for them. This is why we're the devil. The devil has such an influence and such a power. And that's why Paul said, a man who is apt to teach ought to be gentle, not strive. Peradventure, they might be able to recover themselves from the snare of the devil when they're taken captive by the devil. And look here in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Whatever the prince of the power of this air, that devil, the prince of the power, these demons, and that's around, whatever was we wanted us to walk, that's the way we went. And it's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And always causes us to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the mind. And that's the way this man, you know, that's the way men are by nature. This man had a devil took him. This young boy had a devil take him. And that's what the devil does. You know, you look at a spirit comes. And it takes people. They say things that just, I mean, parents, children we're talking about now. We're talking about children. And they do things that just makes you stand in utter astonishment. And they commit acts that's so evil and so wicked. And he takes them so captive sometimes that they're given over to liquor and they can't never stop themselves. I had a brother that's an alcoholic. And he'd work and make as high as $800 to $900, $1,000 a week. And he'd work for 6 months and then he'd spend it all until he was on skid row, sell the shoes off his feet to get something else to drink. And then when he went through detox, he'd just sit and shake and shake and shake and shake for days. Until he got enough money to do it again. It's awful. And drugs. You know how many children has been destroyed with drugs? Steal, rob, lie, cheat. Give up homes, give up children for drugs. And hate. Hate. Children that hate. That turn against their parents and hate them. Children that's full of bigotry. They hate blacks. They hate Mexicans. They hate anything that's not like them. They hate authority. They hate to be preached to. They hate to be talked to. They don't want no discipline. They don't want nobody to do anything for them. Just leave them alone. And most likely, if God don't intervene, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to be left alone. And they'll live this way till they die. So what in the world can we do for our children that's in this condition? For people that we know that's in this condition? Do like this man did. Cry out to Christ for them. Cry out to Christ for them. Don't never stop crying out. Never stop crying out. I stayed with a Christian family when I was just a young boy over in North Carolina. And those folks would every night, before they'd go to bed, that old man and his wife, you could hear them in their bedroom praying. And they prayed for every one of their children and every one of their grandchildren. And oftentimes you'd hear the old man begin to weep as he prayed for one son in particular and what a state he was in. Crying out to God. That's what this man did. And not only did the devil take him, but look what it says. It tears him. That means it threw him into convulsions. It made him throw himself down. It threw him down. And it caused him to foam in his mouth. And then it says it bruised him. It would just be all over the ground, just flopping. And it says some places he'd fall in a fire, some places he'd fall in the water. And if somebody hadn't been there to save him, in those situations, the devil's trying to kill him. And oh, that's the last thing in the world we can bear to think about is a child dying without God and without Christ. Huh? Oh, my. So what are we going to do? We're going to cry out to Christ for them. Not my only child. Both my children. All of my children. And if you got children saved, pray for God to save, keep them and preserve them and meet their needs in their homes. That's all. Oh, we got so much to pray for. So many things. And then watch what it says here in verse 40. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out. And they could not. What disciples is he talking about? He's not talking about the three. They just come down off the mountain with him. There was nine disciples left down there.
Yeah.
And those were the nine that this man came to and this crowd was talking to. And they brought, this man brought, no, he no doubt meant to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ wasn't there. And he brought him to his disciples and said, "Would you cast this, please? Have mercy upon my child, my only child." You see, they've done it before. Look over here in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 9. Right here in the chapter we're in, look at verse 1 and 2. They've done it before. What was the reason they could not now? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. This boy had a devil and he had epilepsy. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Why could they not do this one? Huh? Why couldn't they? Well, first of all, they didn't have faith. Their faith failed them. And I want you to look over here in Mark 9 with me just a minute, and I'll show you another reason why. And this is a horrible, horrible reason, but it's true. This is the same story, just come down off the mountain. And down here in verse 14 of Mark chapter 9. You see, they'd cast out devils before. He asked his disciples, and they could not. They could not. And look what it says here in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" They were too busy arguing and debating and answering these scribes' questions instead of meeting the needs of those men and women that Christ sent them to meet the needs of. They was wasting their breath talking to those scribes and Pharisees, though they were no doubt asking stupid, endless, foolish questions. You know, I made this statement here a while back, and I really feel this way. I hope you don't think it's hard. I hope you don't think it's harsh. I get told all the time, I just don't see how you can believe like you do. I don't understand why you all believe like you do. I just can't believe like that. And I tell you what, I don't care if a person can't believe like this. It does not bother me if you can't agree with me. It does not bother me if you don't believe the gospel. It don't bother me. I tell you what, if you don't want to believe, it's your problem. It ain't mine. You're going to face God for it, not me.
Amen.
And I'm not going to argue and debate and answer questions from men and women who's not interested in Christ, in a relationship with Christ. Just interested in trying to show what they know instead of learning anything from what the Word of God says. And you run across people that all the time. Where'd Cain get his wife? Bobby Smith said one time, he said, if he suited Cain, suits me. That's a good answer to it. But that's what people ask, which come first, chicken or the egg? And they start telling you what you got to do to be saved. And you say, don't Christ, Christ gives salvation. Christ produces salvation. And oh my, that's what they were doing. They were standing, arguing with these fellows, reasoning with this man. And here comes a man with his child, his only child, and he's upset, he's hurt, he's burdened, he's troubled. And these fellows standing there talking to a bunch of religious nuts. Leave the religious nuts alone. Let's bring our children to our master. But look what our Savior did now. He rebukes the unbelief. Back over here in Luke 9, in verse 41. And our Lord answering said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." This "oh" here means that he's moved to the depths of his soul. Oh, it's like when you said, "Oh my." Oh, just groaning. Oh, that's what this means. See, he says, "Oh. Oh, you faithless, perverse generation." Faithless. Now, he's not just talking about the 9 disciples that were left there. No doubt he's talking about them. Faithless, perverse generation. He's talking about the whole generation in which he was preaching to, in which he was around, and those he was witnessing to, and was seeing the miracles. But he's talking about the Father, this Father here. In one place, this man said, "Lord, I believe. If all things are possible to him that believeth." And he said, "I believe. But help my unbelief." And he no doubt is talking about the scribes who showed no pity, showed no compassion, and cared not about this man's heartache and trouble and sick child. And then he was moved, this faithless and perverse generation, with this crowd concerned with the temporal needs of their lives and their bodies, concerned with what he could do for them instead of him, himself. They were concerned with hearing something or seeing a miracle, not in submitting to Christ and His Word. Amen. And look what he says now. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Well, it ain't going to be much longer. Ain't going to be much longer. You know, this is so true. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. And this is one of the greatest griefs He had, is how people reacted to Him. Amen. How they treated one another in His presence. "How long shall I be with you?" What a grief to be preaching to people who won't believe. What a grief to perform a miracle for somebody and them just follow you around so they can see another. They're not following you for what can be done for their heart, what can be done for their soul, to have a right relationship with God. They all assumed they had that. And oh my, he longed for that day. He's going to go back with his Father. Not only did condemnation that those men pronounced upon him before he went to his cross, not only did the cross bring great suffering to our Lord, but unbelief caused great grief to our Lord. Wickedness caused great grief to our Lord. Hypocrisy brought great grief to our Lord. And this situation here, when there these men could have done this and helped this man, and there they are, they're taken up with so many things. And he said, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to have to put up with you?" But oh, bless His holy name. Mercy. Mercy always triumphs. Even in this faithless and perverse generation, grace. Grace abounds. Watch what He says now. "Bring thy son here." He went there. Look up. "Bring him here. Bring him here. Come on. Bring him up here. Bring him on to me." Oh my. "I'll look on him. Bring him here. Bring him here. I'll show you some mercy. I'll show you some grace. I'll do some healing here." And all beloved, you young folks, listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. Here's an example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His readiness to show mercy to young people. Here's a child, and He's so ready to show mercy to this child. He's a young man. He's a boy. And it was a young boy. It was a young man. It was in that tomb that He showed mercy to. It was Jairus' daughter He showed mercy to. And our Lord heard this poor man's cry as he cried out. And oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ delights to show mercy. And that's why Ecclesiastes says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Yeah. You know, you young people, you know enough about sin. You already know enough about sin. You know enough about rebellion. You know enough about self-will. You know enough about selfishness. You know enough about pride. You know enough about self-righteousness. You know enough you know enough about yourself. Oh, my soul, Christ stands ready to show mercy.
Yes, sir.
To you young folks. Ready to do it. And I tell you, everybody in here has prayed for every young person in this building and all the families for years and years and years. We've seen the fruits of those prayers occasionally. And I'm going to trust the Lord and we'll see some more of them. See some more of them. Well, look what happens. Now, the devil ain't going to give up easy. He's not going to. He's got his goods. As long as he's in control, he wants to keep them safe. And oh, look what he does. And as he was yet coming, that boy was... Father had him and he was bringing his son. He was, while he was yet coming, the devil makes one last charge. And while he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and began to cause him to go into epilepsy. Caused a convulsion. Right when he's coming to Christ. You know, that's exactly the way the devil is. When it's in your heart, and it's in your mind and your soul, and you say, oh, I need to come to Christ. I need to trust Christ. And then just as quick as you say that, the devil say, well, they won't believe I've trusted him. They won't believe I've known him. They won't believe that I've really come to Christ and really trusted Christ. And if I do, will I really be doing it myself, or will it be just me being talked into? The devil's right there to talk you out of it the very minute you start thinking about coming to Christ. Ain't that right? He even tries to keep us as believers from coming to Christ. He'll use any device he can get. He'll use anger. He'll use, when you get ready to pray, he'll use a telephone ringing. He'll use something, oh, I forgot to do this. I better do that before I do that. And then when you get this, oh, Lord, I've put you off long enough. Now I'm sorry. I'm ashamed to come. Oh, he'll use anything he possibly can against us. But, oh, my, mercy and grace abounds. Look what happens now. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. And this rebuked here don't mean like me or you rebuking somebody. That means straightening them out. When we see them doing something, you know, tell them what they've done wrong and don't do that anymore. When he rebuked something, that means he expelled it.
Yes, sir.
True. It had to go. You know, he rebuked a fever from Simon Peter's mother. And she got up just like that. It was gone just like that. He stood at my ship and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And they stopped. And when he rebuked this unclean spirit, that unclean spirit had to go. He expelled him from that boy. He asserted his authority over all fevers, sicknesses, winds and waves and devils. He even told one devil, rebuked the devil, said, don't you say another word. You got no business talking to me. I'm not going to let a devil talk to me. That's what our Lord was saying. He'll let a sinner talk to him, but there ain't no devil going to talk to him. And oh my, look what happens next. And he healed the child. Over in Mark 9, you don't have to look there, but he healed this child of this epilepsy. He never, ever foamed at the mouth again. Never, ever fell down again with this. And the scriptures tells us over there that he rebuked that deaf spirit, that dumb spirit, and this boy began to hear, and this boy began to speak. He had talked, he had spoke, and now he's whole. He's whole. Heard on the news today about a man lost his eyesight 31 years ago when he's in a chemical accident, lost his eyesight. Well, somebody died and he got cornea transplants. He hadn't seen his wife or his children for 31 years. I heard him talking. He said he told his wife when he first seen her, He said, "The years have sure been good to you." And he said when he saw his kids, he couldn't say anything. All he could do was just hold them. But you imagine what it is, getting your sight, hearing it, your dad's voice, you never heard it before, your mother's voice, saying, "I love you, I need you, thank you," when you never spoke before. Calling your dad's name. So you see, when our Lord, when he says he heals somebody, all we see is just something. But all the effects, the fruits that going to have him the rest of his life. Oh boy. And then watch what happens next. "And delivered him again to his father." Having to give him back to him. A heap sight different he was when he brought him. Healed him, and he got a whole son back. And that's what Christ does for us when he saves our children. He'll give us a whole child back. He'll give us a complete child. He'll give us a child. He'll give us a son and a daughter that'll love like they've never loved before, will obey like they've never obeyed before, will understand like they've never understood before, and use language they've never used before, and hear words they've never heard before. And all these, there'll be a dramatic change take place when you give him our children and he does for them what he did for them. Now let me tell you this in closing. Our Master's heart, our Lord had his heart in his work, in his healings. Whenever you find our Lord healing, just like when he stood at Lazarus' tomb, he wept because his heart's in it, his soul's in it. Like he healed that paralytic man that they let down through the roof. He said, "Your sins be forgiven you." Then he healed him. His heart was in this. He even forgave him of his sins. And there's that Gadarene maniac that he restored in his right mind and his clothes. He turned around and made him a missionary. Huh? And that woman that he healed with the issue of blood, he turned around and comforted her. And when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he says, "You give her some deed." I mean, it was more than just the act. His heart was in it. There was something they needed besides just the healing. He gave, when he raised the widow's son, out of the casket, he reached and got him by the hand, raised him up. Gave him back to his mother. And look what it says there in verse 43. "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." Well, I am too. I am too. I am too. When I read that today, I said, I am too. I'm amazed at the power of God that keeps us, not only saves us, but keeps us. Oh, so am I. Then look what he says to his disciples. Well, they all were standing around wondering and talking at what our Lord had done. He said to his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears about faithless and perverseness and what all the things that's been done here. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Talked of his death again. He's speaking of his death again. How he's going to be mistreated by the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders and be rejected and be slain. But it says here, "But they understood not this saying." They didn't understand it. He had done told them about it once. And it was hid from them that they perceived it not. Who hid it from them? God hid it from them. You know, they should have understood. He had told them before. They had the Old Testament scriptures. But God hid it from them. If they would have known everything that was going to happen before it happened, how miserable would they have been? How miserable they'd have been. They'd have just worried about it and thought about it all the time. But why was it hid from them? Because it seemed good in his sight.
Amen.
And there's things hid to me and there's things hid to you. And in one of these days, we see. We see. Our Father, thank you for meeting with us this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for the truth as it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, who is like unto you in mercy and grace and power? Meet the needs of these dear hearts, these families. And when Brother Dale comes to preach this Lord's Day, God bless him. Use him mightily. Use him mightily. And Lord, as the saints gather to hear him, may they hear mightily, graciously, powerfully. And meet the needs of Lantana Grace Church. For Lord Jesus, we acknowledge, and gratefully so, you are our Lord, you are our Master. You speak and we'll do. You'll guide us and we'll go. Lead us and we'll follow. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right.